This is KCUR Central Standard. I'm Brian Ellison. Jesse Fernandez was born in Cuba, but his complicated relationship with and feelings about his home country led him to live in many other places. He still managed to capture many powerful images of celebrities and of ordinary people alike half a century ago, images that are now being displayed in three locations around Kansas City. Jane Aspinwall is curating all of that. Hello, Jane.
Hi.
It's great to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
You're Associate Curator of Photography at the Nelson Atkins. How did the Nelson manage to become associated with the work of Jesse Fernandez?
Well, that would... Our director, Julian Zugazagoitia, would have to take the credit for that. He was very familiar with the Jesse Fernandez archive, which resides in Paris with Jesse's widow. He has always been known about this work when he was the director of El Barrio in New York. And as Cuba has become more topic of conversation in the news, he thought this is a perfect time to really not only reach out to community partners, but also to highlight the work of Jesse and make this great connection to Cuba.
Well, let's start with Jesse and with his work. He was Cuban, but he didn't live there that many years. Still, he kept circling back. Who was Jesse Fernandez?
Well, and the title of the exhibition is actually Cuba Bound, Photographs of Jesse Fernandez. And people ask me, Cuba Bound, you know, what does that mean? And I would say that he was not only bound to Cuba, but he was bounding away from Cuba. He spent most of his life, although he was born in Cuba, he spent most of his life in Latin America, the United States, and in Europe. And as he spent time in these other countries, he embedded himself in the expat communities and met all kinds of creative personalities, artists, writers, dancers, musicians. He was a great lover of jazz and visited many of the jazz clubs in New York and a lot of the jazz festivals like the Newport Jazz Festival in the United States and took some really amazing pictures.
Was he making a living as an artist in all of these places?
He, making a living, you'd have to put air quotes around that.
Well, I said
I
as
think
an
at
artist,
times.
Right?
And Jesse was an artist, not only a photographer, but he also worked in watercolor. He worked in drawing. He created little boxes, so kind of sculpture. So he was a multimedia artist, and he did work for several magazines like Life magazine. So he definitely had photo essays that hopefully he was paid something for. So he did make somewhat of a living from this.
Well, we could talk for hours about his many different photographs. A lot of his most significant ones came from his last year in Cuba, his last visit to Cuba,
yes,
which was in the late 1950s. Ooh, tell us about that visit and why he was there.
Yes, well, the thing about Jesse that's so interesting is that he really has a knack for being in the right place at the right time, or some would say maybe the wrong place at the right time. His last visit to Cuba was in the late 50s, so 58, 59, just as Fidel Castro was coming to power. Wow. Jesse actually spent quite a bit of time with Castro, traipsing around the forests, standing next to him, you know, with Castro with the big Cuban cigar in his mouth. And after 9 months of time, Jesse left Cuba because he was really uncomfortable with what that regime was becoming. But during that time period, he took some really beautiful and terrific photographs of everyday Cuba, street scenes, people in barber's chairs or getting their shoes shined, the tobacco industry. So some really incredible moments that serve as kind of a time capsule of that period.
Was it difficult to get photographs from Cuba during the years of the Castro regime? I mean, was there something about having these photos available that makes them now historically significant?
Well, I think that I don't think he had any problems, you know, taking the photos or getting them out of Cuba. But I think that, you know, when many of us think of Cuba, we think of that 1950s time. It's kind of frozen in mm-hmm. that 1950s time period. And I think that if you'd visited Cuba during, and I have not been, but during the 60s or the 70s or 80s or 90s, that 50s Cuba is still in existence and, you know, probably is pretty short-lived. now.
Well, right. And so this does, as you said, suggest that there's a certain timeliness about this exhibition. Let's talk a little bit about the photos of the exhibition themselves, especially the ones that are on display now in Kansas City. What sort of things do these photos capture? I know they're in a few different venues around town.
Yes, they are. The Cuba images, these photographs not only let us highlight the Cuba, but also gave us a very unique opportunity to reach out to our community partners, which at the Nelson is a real strong strategic initiative of our institution.
And so you're speaking here of the American Jazz Museum.
Yes.
And also
the Kansas City Public Library Central Branch. As we spoke earlier in the program, Jesse took photographs of many of the intellectual and creative personalities that he came in contact with. So many of artists like Marcel Duchamp, Calder, Duquesne, all kinds of artists, and those are on view. Those portraits are on view at the Nelson. He also
is there a particular one of those that stands out to you as something that an image that you really admire and appreciate?
Well, I love the triptych that we have of Francis Bacon, one with his head turned to the right, one with him looking straight on, and then one with him turned to the left. And when we put them all in a series horizontally, it kind of almost reads like a time lapse, you know, kind of echoing the triptychs that, you know, he's known for in his own work. I would say that that's probably a pretty great one at the Nelson.
That's pretty neat.
At the public library, they have writers, portraits of the writers on view. Not only Latin American writers like Gabriel Garcia Marquez, but also Hemingway is on view. It's a big favorite taken during his time in Cuba. And then at the American Jazz Museum in the Gem Theater on their mezzanine level, they have some spectacular, you know, greatest hits type of portraits of Miles Davis, Billie Holiday, all the big, you know, the big names in jazz.
And are you just showing work of Jesse Fernandez, or are you comparing his work to the work of other photographers?
We are just showing Jesse's work at the three venues. Yeah.
And how does that work compare to other photographers? Who would we think of if we're not familiar with his work? Who might be similar? Have similar influences.
Boy, that's a tough one.
Or who has he been influential on, perhaps?
I would say that's exactly where I was going to go with that. Cartier-Bresson was a Parisian street photographer who took many, many pictures of his hometown of Paris. Jesse is also influenced by Walker Evans, and Walker Evans was very enamored with signage, and I think that in a lot of Jesse's images of Cuba, you can see kind of that same interest in all kinds of signage.
You're a curator of photography. You do this all the time. What's so special about these photos?
Well, I just think that it's really twofold. You know, not only the nod to Cuba, but this incredible opportunity to do this three-venue exhibition. I personally have never curated a three-venue exhibition. And so it was really exciting to kind of throw out these images.
Why is it exciting?
It's exciting to share the visual arts in other venues that are more, you know, the library is literary, the Jazz Museum is performance-based. So it's neat to kind of share that visual excitement with these other institutions. Each institution wrote the labels for the exhibition.
Oh, really?
We did not, because we thought that who better to write about the literary figures than the library? Who better to write about the jazz museums than the jazz museum? So,
right.
It was really quite exciting.
And do these photos have an impact on you personally, or when you look at photos these days, you look at 1,000 of these, is it just another day looking at pictures?
It's never just another day looking at pictures for me. I think what's neat about the particular portraits that we have at the Nelson is that we've been able to kind of tailor-make the artist selection to artists we actually have in the collection. So we have a great portrait of Henry Moore, and of course we have the beautiful Henry Moore sculpture garden, you know, right outside. We have Jesus Soto. Anybody who's visited the Nelson and walked down our gallery walk past the image that the piece that when you look at it kind of makes you motion sick, that particular artist is designated. We have a wonderful portrait of Marcel Duchamp playing chess, and we have a wonderful sculpture of Duchamp playing chess. So that's been really exciting to make those pairings and to draw those connections to the rest of our collection for our viewers.
How have all of these photos managed to be preserved?
Well, the archive, the widow, Franz Mazen Fernandez, who resides in Paris, has everything that Jesse ever created.
Have you gotten to work with her?
I have. She was just here last week for the opening and was quite thrilled with, you know, this. It's so overwhelming to see all of these photographs and these three venues. And I think she was just, you know, overcome with emotion at how wonderful that this exhibition is. I made a trip to Paris, gosh, probably about a year and a half ago, to go through all the contact sheets, every photograph, everything that Jesse really touched photographically, and spent, you know, about a week going through everything, making the selections that I thought would be appropriate for our institution, but hopefully also for the other institutions as well.
And how long will this be out and about in Kansas City?
They will be on view at the three venues through the end of the year, so through December 31st, and they're free. So anybody can go in and look at any time.
What makes an exhibition like this meaningful or interesting to you, Jane? And how does a particular collection say to you, this is something that people need to see?
I think that the fact that Jesse just was able to capture the essence of every place and every person that he lived, place that he lived in, and person that he came in contact with, I think that's really special. I don't think a lot of photographers have had opportunities to do that. And the fact that the archive is all together, that these selections could so freely be made, they were, you know, the widow, France, was so generous, you know, anything was game. I think that that's a really unique and special opportunity.
Well, it's an opportunity that our area listeners have to check out for the rest of this year. Jane Aspinwall is Associate Curator of Photography at the Nelson Atkins Museum of Art. Jane, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Really a pleasure. We've covered a lot here today, and you can hear all of it again when we post the show online later this afternoon. All our other shows are there, too. You can go to our website, kcur.org/Central Standard. You can also find us on Twitter. We're at KCURCST. There's been some conversation there today. And I'm at PTS Brian. Tomorrow, in this election season, we explore the reality that in many races, candidates are running unopposed. We talk about the implications for our politics of all that. KCUR Central Standard is produced by Matthew Long Middleton and Sylvia Maria Gross. Our team includes Suzanne Hogan, Jen Chen, Andrea Tudhope, and our intern, Raven Brooks. Gina Kaufman's on leave. I'm Brian Ellison. We'll see you tomorrow.